Well, I ask for your prayers again this afternoon. Lord, bless the thoughts I feel like he's given me. I think the Lord is pleased, say it this way, I think the bridegroom is pleased when we sing our love songs to him. From the heart, my Jesus, I love thee. I love you for wearing the thorns on your brow. I love you for what you've done for me. There's another song that says, I ought to love my Savior. And a verse of that says, what heart could e'er withhold a love that costs so dearly the offering of his soul? I believe there's something in the love of God that is so great that it merits just a return of our love. When we see how great his love is to us, the natural response of the soul is to say, Lord, I love you. I'd like to consider here for a little bit this morning, and don't expect that we'll be real long, but Psalms 107, I'd like to begin. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. It almost seems to me like an understatement to say the Lord is good. Well, we could probably think of more superlatives to fit in that, but how true it is that the Lord is good. Everything about him, Scripture says every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights. He's the author of all good, of every good thing, of the blessings that are in our life. And the thought that's been on my heart is about gratitude. As we think about going into this week, I appreciate the Thanksgiving holiday. I think it's such a fitting holiday for us to have and such a fitting day for us to observe as a nation. I would to God that our nation observed it in the spirit in which it was originally set forth. It's about so much more than Turkey Day and football and parades and things. There's so much more to it than that, more than a day off of work. If you read, and I won't read it here this afternoon, but read the original proclamation that George Washington issued with the declaration of that first national holiday of Thanksgiving, reaffirmed years later by Abraham Lincoln when it was instituted on a recurring basis then, and the date set for a day of Thanksgiving. Folks, they make it very clear where they put their trust and their confidence and their thanksgiving, that it wasn't in their prowess as military leaders or their intelligence as the framers of the nation, that all thanks and all praise belongs to God, and that it's only fitting for us as a nation that we stop, what we're doing, and we remember to give thanks unto God. That we remember the one from whom all these blessings come and to give him thanks for it. Gratitude is an emotion of the heart, according to Webster, excited by a favor or benefit received. A sentiment of kindness or goodwill towards a benefactor, accompanied with a disposition to make a suitable return of benefits or services. Again, when I see what the Lord has done, what the Lord has given to me, there's something that it should do within us, that it should produce within us, that, one, I love the Lord, and that I want to give to the Lord something in return. Well, there's a song that goes, the debt that I owe could never be paid, but I want you to know, Lord, I'm glad that I'm saved. There's something that should come up from within us that wants to give unto the Lord the glory unto his name, the thanks unto his name, to render, Scripture talks about rendering unto him the calves of our lips, the sacrifice of our lips, which is thanksgiving to the Lord. We don't come together here, obviously, and offer a burnt offering of any kind, a sacrifice of a bullock or something. But folks, every one of us have something that we can offer to the Lord. We can come and we can offer the Lord the thanksgiving of our lips. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be fancy and well thought out. But the answer It is the answer of the soul to say, Lord, thank you. Lord, I owe you. I'm indebted to you for what you've done. Now, maybe you would disagree, but I'm inclined to think we've had a bit of a tough year. On a number of fronts, it's been a, as they say, a doozy. You know, there's so many things for us to complain about, that we could complain about. There's so many, every time I get out and I go in a store and I see a sign on the door telling me what I got to put on my face, it makes me cringe a little bit. But you know, there's so many things that our reaction, if we're not careful, can be to murmur, to complain. There's always something that we can find to complain about. The weather. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too dry. It's too wet. The gas prices, the politicians, the taxes, and on and on and on. We can complain again in the year that we've been in, where we've probably all to some degree faced some disappointment. We faced plans that were unraveled before us and not able to do all of the things that we'd like to do. I want to just remind us not to forget about all His benefits. All the Lord has done us for us. And Lord, help us to not just once a year, but Lord, help us to pause, to stop all the busyness of our life and remember, Lord, this came from You. And I think it's good for us sometimes. I won't put you on the spot and go around, but I think it's good for us sometimes to just stop and make myself think. What are some of the things the Lord's done for us? What are some of the things that we have to be thankful for? Do you ever practice in your personal time of prayer? I don't believe this is to be every time of our prayer, clearly. But do you ever come before the Lord and say, Lord, this time I just want to tell you thank you. This time I just want to give back to you. Lord, there's so many things that I have to ask for and that I have asked for. But Lord, I just want to spend this time now telling you thank you. Well, we have a couple scriptures that I want to look at. Psalms 116 is one of them. Psalms 116 and 12 says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. What shall I do in return for what the Lord has done for us?" You ever find yourself, whenever you're looking back at the stories of the children of Israel, just kind of shaking your head, saying, really? The Lord just brought you out of the Red Sea, and you're going to go griping and complaining because you're thirsty. You think if the Lord's able to part the seas, He's not going to take care of you? But there they go, saying, oh, Moses, you brought us out here into the wilderness to die out here in the wilderness. Really? After everything you just saw, that's the mindset that you're going to adopt? Doesn't take very long, of course, saying, why shall we drink? Wish we would have died in Egypt, where at least we had all of the abundance of things around us. I'd rather die out there than to come out here in the wilderness and be hungry. Moses and Aaron, you're taking too much upon yourselves. Who's appointed you to be over? It's the spies of Canaan coming back saying they're too big. The walls are too thick. The giants are too tall. We can't do it. What was the Lord's feeling about all of that? Wasn't He sorely grieved and displeased at the murmuring of the people? To the point it vexed Him so much, at one point He said, Moses, stand back. Stand back, I've had it. I've had enough. These people are doing nothing but complaining and murmuring. And you know, I can look back and I can criticize the children of Israel, but if I'm real honest and I look at myself, I have to say, Lord, there have been plenty of times in my own life that I've started murmuring, that I've started chafing under the circumstance. They were pointing to Moses and Aaron, saying, why did you bring us out here into the wilderness? Why did you do that? Well, it wasn't them that they were really complaining about. For all things come from the hand of the Lord. It was in the Lord's hand and the Lord's plans that had brought them out there. You know, if we're not careful, we can chafe at circumstances and unintentionally be chafing at the hand of the Lord. And I'm thankful the Lord is He's merciful. He's compassionate to us. But Lord, help us to be grateful. To have grateful hearts, an attitude of gratitude to the Lord for the things that He's done for us. Lord, help me not to become so distracted by the difficulties of 2020 or whatever circumstances we face that I forget all the Lord's done. There's another scripture, it says in Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The enemy of our soul is a thief. And you know, he'll come along and he'll steal the blessings of the Lord right out from under us too if we're not careful. He'll come along and I can be really, no, if I'm not careful, no better than the children of Israel. And the Lord, I wonder sometimes looking down saying, Clint, really? After all I've done for you in your life, after all the ways I've answered prayer and I've helped you and I've worked, and you think I brought you to this circumstance just to leave you? Clint, come on. Lord, help us not to forget, not to become distracted and so focused in tunnel vision, we heard in the meeting, on the things around me that I forget to look up and thank the Lord. That I can imagine after years and years of eating manna, that boy, I sure wish I'd have something different. If you know this came from the Lord, and we ought to thank Him and praise Him for it. I'd like to look at the 17th chapter of Luke, get a familiar instance in the ministry of Jesus. Luke 17 in the 11th verse says, And it came to pass, as He went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, Go, shew yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. You know, it's easy in our times of trouble, easier to call on the Lord. Whenever I know that I'm in such desperate need of the Lord, and I want to challenge us, even in our prayer request, the things that we bring before the Lord, let's also be careful to come back to Him with thanksgiving. I think about even, I don't believe He's on maybe right now, but Brother John, folks, how many times did we pray together? Lord, spare his life. Lord, please. Lord, turn this around. Lord, would you do the impossible? If said there's no hope, there's no chance, he's on his way out. Lord, if you'd see fit, would you raise him up? How easily do we forget? Folks, we need to render to the Lord thanksgiving, to come and turn back to the Lord, not just in my time of need. I ask the Lord and entreat the Lord and spend time on my knees. There's no legalistic rule that says if you spend 2 hours asking for something, spend 2 hours thanking the Lord for something. But I'm just challenged for myself that I be careful to give the Lord thanksgiving. And we can maybe even sometimes say, oh, well, they've already heard it before. Well, they've heard this testimony. Give thanks unto the Lord. Let's tell what the Lord has done for us. The enemy is sure to bring the pictures, and life itself is sure to bring challenges and new things that we're having to deal with every day. And it's good to remind ourselves of our Ebenezer stones, of the places where hitherto the Lord has helped us. The Lord brought me this far. I remember a time. And the Lord doesn't just want it to be back in the dusty history books. But don't forsake those either. Scriptures talk about a kingdom of heaven, something like it's like a householder that bringeth out riches, both old and new, out of the storehouse. And folks, the Lord has new things that He wants to do for us. Let's not forget the old or the new. We can never pay the Lord enough. We're not going to tire the Lord coming back to Him saying, Lord, thank you. Lord, I just want to praise you. Lord, I know I've told you before. Lord, I'm so glad to be saved. Lord, I'm so thankful for what you did for me. So these lepers that were so aware of their need, there was nothing they could do about it. No cure for leprosy. Especially at that time, once a leper, really always a leper. You bore the stigma, the shame of that, the physical marks of that all of your life. And here comes your hope. Jesus, maybe He can do something for me. They call out, as rightly they should, the Lord, the whole message and how the Lord went about that. But as they walked in obedience to what the Lord said, the Lord healed him. He answered their prayer and their request. And it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And notice it says, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And not even of the household of God, so to speak, at that point, of God's chosen people, the Jewish nation. This a Samaritan. And yet the Lord, in His pity and compassion that He had on all 10 of them, only one of them, 10% of the multitude, turned back to the Lord and gave glory to Him. Are we in the 10% or the 90%? Lord, help us to be careful and to be diligent, to turn back to the Lord, to give Him thanks and praise for all that He's done for us. I was thinking, in closing, 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Almost seems an unusual verse to bring into something like this, but it says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. I mean, that's a pretty bad crowd to be in, isn't it? In the last day, beware of all these things that will begin to be evidenced and manifest in the hearts of the multitudes. And then it goes on to say, unthankful. Lord, help me to not fall into the easy rut of asking, of seeing the need, seeing the problem, complaining about the problem, and then being, I remember Brother Larry referencing it often, that people, seems like nowadays, are like, what do you say, a blind pig or something that's rooting around trying to find acorns and eating them up just as fast as he can. Never once looking up to see where those acorns came from. That's the way so much of our world is. Folks, if someone is going to give the Lord the praise that's due to His name, it's going to fall on us. The world's not likely to do it. How fitting it is for us as His people to give thanks and praise to the Lord. Jesus said, and some were turning back and rejoicing, and others thought maybe it was inappropriate, over the top, too loud, too boisterous, whatever it was. And Jesus said, if these held their peace, even the rocks would cry out. I've heard folks say, I don't want any rock crying out for me. Lord, help us that we'd be careful to give unto the Lord the thanksgiving that's due unto His name, to carry about with us a spirit of gratitude. More than just a day and a holiday in the year, But to carry that spirit with us of thanking the Lord and praising Him, because it is surely due unto His name. You pray for me.